Derry, do you have a Sunday humor for us this morning?
Have you ever wondered why after a prayer we say amen instead of a women? I guess it's because we sing hymns instead of hers.
Thank you, Jerry. Awesome. He is faithful. He is faithful to come up with him, right, Jer? All right. This morning, I want you to, before I start my message, I want you to look at these stained glass windows. And if you can turn around and look especially at the one where the sun is shining through, if you can do that. Aren't they beautiful? Aren't they beautiful? I have a purpose for having you do that this morning, because there was this Sunday school teacher who asked her young students, can you tell me what a saint is? So this little girl raised her hand up, a little shy. She said, well, before she said anything, she remembered that when she went to church, that there were these stained glass windows, and on these stained glass windows were pictures of Jesus and the apostles. So she raised her hand and she says, I know what a saint is. A saint are people that let the light shine through. She was thinking about the stained glass window and how the light came through on these figures that were on the stained glass window. But we know that Jesus is the light of the world. And we know that if we're followers of Christ, we want to let his light also shine through us. Amen? Now, the thing is, which, you know, as I was reading this, I thought about the disciples. And we might be tempted, when we think about Peter or James or John or Matthew or Paul, we might want to put them on a pedestal, because after all, when we read about them in the Bible, it seems like they're kind of superhuman individuals because of all that they accomplished for Christ. But guess what? They're just as ordinary as you and I. And the Bible even shares, you know, some of the humanness about them, the mistakes that they made, the errors that they made. You know, like they argued amongst themselves who was going to sit at the right hand with Jesus. You know, they wanted, well, who's going to sit next to you, Jesus? You know, we know you're going to be at the right hand of the Father, but who's going to be next to you? You know, but, you know, they were just human beings. They were ordinary people like you and I. But guess what? They were also called saints. They were also called saints. And if you're a Christian, you're a saint too. A friend of mine, JP, when he would get up to preach, he would say, good morning, saints. Or he would talk to you, well, he'd say, Sister Bonnie, or he would talk to you like you are a saint of God. You are, if you're a follower of Christ, he was encouraging you, telling you that you are a saint. But guess what? The greatest of the disciples, as great as they were, it wasn't because of who they were. It was because God had his hand on them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, it says, Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considered foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. Then it goes on to say, and he chose things that are powerless to shame those who thought they were full of power. So, again, we know that the people that were in the Bible were not perfect. They were ordinary people. That God did extraordinary things through ordinary people. That God seems to go out of his way to choose unexpected people to do unexpected things in unexpected places. That's us. He's talking about us. He's talking about, you know, here's Jesus coming up to Matthew and asks Matthew to follow him. And Matthew says, you don't know me. You don't know the sinner that I am. You know, because he knew that, you know, he was just ordinary. But Jesus picked him. Matthew, a tax collector. Who would have ever thought that Jesus would have picked a tax collector? The list goes on. Jesus did not call the apostles because they were great. They were great because Jesus called them. And before we can change the world, what happens? Jesus comes along and he changes us. Then God can take us and he can use us even in our flaws and our shortcomings. We can be used to give glory to God. So today's title to this message is, when God appoints you, he anoints you. Now, you haven't heard me talk about the anointing of God too much, but today is the day. And so when we prayed this morning, Cheryl and I, we really prayed that, you know, that you had your spiritual ears, you know, on this morning, and that you can grasp a hold of this message and apply it in your life. So God specializes in the impossible. We all know that, because there's so many times we went to God with an impossible situation, and we know if anybody can do it, it would be God. God never asks you to do something without providing what it is that you need to follow through on the task that he's called you to do. Anointing is the sign of God's equipping you to fulfill that assignment that he's given you. So when he gives you an assignment or a plan or a strategy, he's going to empower you. He's going to give you what you need to accomplish that. There's a song that's out that goes, he that has started a good work in you is faithful, faithful, faithful to complete it. Our work is to have the faith to believe that that's possible. So here's a good example. Just as you take a lamp and you go to turn it on and it's, you know, the light doesn't go on, well, then you realize it's because it's unplugged from the power source. The same with us. We cannot let God's light shine if we do not go to the power source of God. He is our power source. It's only through him that, you know, and what, how he recreated us, how he works from the inside out, so that when we go out and share the message of the gospel, we are letting his light shine because we're hooked up to him. We're getting our power source from him. In John 15:5, it says, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So if we want God's power to work in us, you know, and through us, what do we have to do? We have to understand that the power source comes from God himself. That anointing comes from God. So first, we need to understand that every born-again Christian, spirit-filled child of God, has the anointing upon his life. However, that's a big word, however, each individual is responsible for keeping and increasing that level of the anointing. I remember we were talking in Bible class the other day about one of these chapters that I thought when I accepted Christ, I was not going to have another problem ever. I just had that in my head that that's the way it was going to be. Boy, was I in for a rude awakening. But the thing is this. When I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, what I realized was, is God is my source, and that when I need that power, I need that anointing, I need to go to him. It didn't say that it was going to be smooth sailing when you became a child of God. It's just the fact that we now have the Holy Spirit that lives in us and leads us and guides us, which makes it easier for us. So this is why when some walk in a greater anointing than others, the word is taught and they retain it and they apply it. So as Christians, we need to be filled, continually filled with God's Spirit, thus reassuring us of a fresh anointing every single time. Now, it's not a one-time thing. So in Ephesians 5:18, it says, do not get drunk on wine, in which lies debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and playing to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks always and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God be the Father. So what it's saying here is it's something that we need to do on a regular basis. It's got to be a way of life to encourage each other. praise each other, encourage each other in the Lord. Pray with each other. But not only that, it says giving thanks for everything. Giving thanks to God for everything. Because when we do that, we're keeping that continual communication with God. We're showing him that we appreciate that he meets our needs and that he is faithful to us. So we're keeping that line of communication open. Now, this I want you to, this is where I learned as at the beginning of my walk with the Lord. It says, it should be noted that after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit recorded in Acts 2, the disciples experienced another outpouring. Wow. You mean when they got the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that wasn't it? No, that wasn't it. In Acts 4, it talks about that they also received and had another experience of an outpouring shortly after that. So what it's saying there is, just because when Pentecost and the whole, you know, Jesus said, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send you the Comforter. He's going to live and dwell within you. When the Holy Spirit came down and he anointed the disciples, it wasn't a one-time deal. It was something that they had to continually be in prayer about, to continually have that relationship. So we're going to go through five things here. And it says, number one, when God says to do it, you can count on his anointing. These are things that you need to keep in mind about God's anointing. That when he has a plan for you, and it comes from him, you know it's something that God wants you to do. He's not going to leave you stranded out there by yourself and expect you to do it on your own strength, on your own power. He's going to give you the power, the anointing that you need to do that. You know, Jesus' last assignment to the apostles, to the disciples, it was to go to all the ends of the earth and what? Share the good news of the gospel. Well, I mean, they don't have what we have today. As far as travel and technology, that had to have seemed like a total impossibility, but yet they believed God. So because they believed God, God often gives, had always given them the assignment, but he also gave them everything that they needed and provided what they needed when they went out and shared the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, the one who calls you is faithful. He surely will do it. Now, this verse right here in Kids Club, we're teaching the children to do memory verses. There's probably 12 or 15 maybe, Marilyn, that we do for the kids for the year. And this is one of those scriptures. You know, the one who calls you is faithful. So when we're teaching kids at a young age that God is faithful and that all you have to do is call on him, and if he calls you, he's got a plan and a purpose for you. And, you know, if you seek him, he's going to have a plan and a purpose for you. So, but the thing is, from this scripture, it's saying he surely will do it. That's a promise. So number two, it says God's anointing makes difficult tasks easier. Our resources here on earth are limited. We're limited by our energy. You know, we have only so much energy in our body. We have only so much knowledge, wisdom, talent, but yet God's resources are unlimited. So with God's anointing, we can handle things better, we can go farther, and we can last longer because we have that anointing to do what God has called us to do. Number three, God's anointing makes the impossible possible. So if we're going through a situation, maybe with our marriage or with our business or maybe where we're working right now, our relationships with our family, these things are the things that we take to the Lord. If our finances, if we need assistance in our finances, these are things that we always take before God. You know, we cannot let Satan come in like he is the father of lies and say, well, you can handle this little thing by yourself. You can deal with this yourself. You don't need to bother God with. No, God says from the littlest thing to the biggest thing, I can do all those things. I love you so much that I'm just as concerned about that little thing that you're dealing with as the big thing that you're dealing with. I'm concerned about it all. So don't let Satan come in and say, That one you can deal with your own. You can take care of that on your own. No, let God do it, because when God does it, it's always done, and it's a permanent, it's an anointing that comes in different ways than you possibly would ever expect it to happen. So in Luke chapter 18, 27, it says, what is impossible with people is possible with God. Again, that's another promise to us. Number four, God anoints your life to bless others. So with that anointing, when we get that anointing, that power from God, it's not for us four no more. It's not for you to keep. It's for you to use for others. Jesus came to comfort the afflicted, the brokenhearted, and those who were enslaved. Talking about those that, you know, are bound up with maybe an addiction. There's so many things that come up against people today. So many things with drugs and pornography and all these many things that just can get a hold of you, and they're hard to shake. So God promises us that if we come to Him, He can help us. And I'm sure all of us can probably relate to a story of someone who was in an impossible situation, and God came along and freed them from that addiction of whatever it was. So God also can help us when we find ourselves in financial debt. Or Jesus went about healing the blind, healing those that were deaf, those that were lame. And the same is true with us. His anointing not only comforted them, but we can have that same anointing and we can comfort others. In Acts 10, verse 38, it says, Jesus arrived from Nazareth, anointed by God. Jesus' power and His anointing came from God. So He was ready to go. He stepped out. He knew that the Father was going to give Him all that He needed, supply all that He needed to accomplish what God set Him to do. So He went to the countries, helping people, healing everyone who was beaten down and received the lies of the devil. He was able to do all things because God was with Him. So the thing is this, we have to realize that not only is that anointing there, but that God is with us. He's with us in everything that we go through. So number five, for every new challenge, you need a fresh power from God. The anointing by the Holy Spirit cannot be stored up. It cannot be stored up. That's where I made my mistake when I first came to the Lord, thinking that once I got the anointing, that's all I needed. And the thing is, you can't handle yesterday's problems with yesterday's anointing. You cannot handle or expect to have that problem being taken care of. You can't use tomorrow's situation or next week's situation or next year's situation for yesterday's anointing. You have to get a fresh anointing every single time. And we need to stay in touch with God so that He can constantly fill us with His grace. That's part of that anointing. With His love, that's part of His anointing. With His power, that's part of His anointing. So asking God for that anointing every single time we come up against a situation. In James 4:2, you do not have because you ask not. When we go through a trial, when we're in a valley, you know, and we say, Lord, I've been here forever. It seems like I've been here forever. But God is faithful. He is faithful, faithful, faithful. And maybe right now, in this lifetime, we won't have the answer to why we're dealing with what we're dealing with. But you know what? When we get to heaven, when we stand before our Savior, we're not even going to care about that then. Maybe then we will get the answer. How many of us have said, you know, when I get up there, Lord, I'm going to ask you about this. I'm going to ask you about this. But maybe when you get there, you're just going to be so in awe and thanking the Lord that you are in the presence of your Savior, that it won't matter anymore. Here's a good example of the anointing and not having the anointing. King Saul was humbled and filled with the Spirit of God at the beginning of his reign. Okay? So the Lord gave him many victories over Israel's enemies. So Saul began to reject the word. He started thinking he could do stuff on his own. And he no longer sought the Lord. He was getting more confidence in himself than finding that confidence and that boldness in God. So that anointing left him. The thing is, slowly that spirit, you don't even really realize it. And I don't think Saul realized it, but that pride slowly slips in there and takes the place of that anointing. And when that happens, your heart gets harder and you think you can do more things on your own and you're not leaning on God. And that's exactly what Saul did. He started to rebel against what God wanted him to do and he was disobedient. Here's a good example of that. 1 Samuel chapter 15. When Saul was told, Saul came to God and he goes, we're going to go up against the Amalekites. Are we going to have the victory? And you'll have the victory. You'll have the victory. But I don't want you to take any spoil, and you're to kill everyone. And Saul did not do that. Saul took King Agag captive. He didn't kill them all. And then the spoil looked too tempting to him. Now, he blamed it on his soldiers. He blamed it on the army. And he said, that it was because the army wanted the spoil. Well, it was too tempting because their herds and their livestock were, they were looking pretty good. So he didn't want to destroy them, so they kept them. And God told him not to do that. So the sad thing is, Samuel, he's the prophet, mourned God's rejection of Saul, okay? So, but the Lord told Samuel that he had found a substitute. Substitute for King Saul, a man in the house of Jesse, which we all know was David. So in 1 Samuel 16:12, God says to Samuel, he is ruddy, with a fine appearance, handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him, he is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. Now, King David was often described as in the Old Testament as God's anointed one. Well, let's get back to Saul. The spirit left Saul, and an evil spirit took over him. Saul became depressed, discouraged with time, and could no longer, like I said, he could no longer run or head the army and fight the battles with Israel. So Saul began to be jealous of David. He chased after David for years, wanting to kill David, because he knew that David had the anointing of God on him. Now, David did make some bad choices. When Samuel went up to Saul and told him, God knows what you did. You didn't do what God told you to do. And again, what did Saul do? He used his army as an excuse for what happened, that he didn't obey God because of the army. He didn't repent. But when the prophet went up to David after David made his mistakes, his bad choices, and he realized, oh, God did see that. Yeah, God did see. I repent. I ask for God to forgive me. And he went through a time of mourning and asking God's, he repented. So God continued to anoint King David because he was asking for forgiveness. And he was faithful to God, and he ended up being known as the man after God's own heart. So when Jesus walked the earth, his anointing was evident by the miracles that he performed and the lives that he touched. I mean, we know the multitude of many, many people that came and followed him. So, from demons to disease, no malady, no evil presence could withstand the anointing of God. Let's take, for example, the woman at the well. She knew that all she had to do was touch the hem of his garment. If I could just get to him in between this crowd and I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. That's faith talking. That's faith in action. But when she touched him, Jesus said, the anointing, some of that has went from me. He wanted to know who touched him. And it was because of her faith that anointing was released. It was because, simply because of her faith, that anointing was released from Jesus to her. So as followers of Christ, we have access. I know, it's hard to believe, but we have that same access to that same anointing that Jesus had when he walked the earth. Now, I'm going to do a spoiler alert. When you watch The Chosen, one of the episodes, it's Jesus has got the apostles in the house of Peter, and he tells them that I'm going to start sending you out two by two. And they're like looking at each other like, wait a minute, we've always been with you. You know, we can't do this. And he goes, look, I'm going to send you out two by two different directions, and I'm going to give you the anointing that you need. And you're going to heal. You're going to release people from demons. You're going to do so many things. Just as you saw me do, you're going to do even more. And one of the, I don't think it's in the Bible anywhere, but one of the disciples in that particular episode says to Jesus, did we miss a ceremony or something here? You know, they're like, you know, isn't there a ceremony that's supposed to happen before we get this anointing? Jesus says, this is the ceremony. This is it. That's all it takes. It's your faith believing that I have given you that anointing. You're to take that anointing and you're to apply it. You're to use it to touch and make a difference in other people's lives. So here are three steps, very quickly, that will help activate the anointing in your life. In your life. Number one, activate the anointing by focusing on God's word. Spending time praying about the situations that you need from God, such as healing in your body or healing in someone else's body, restoring a relationship, financial breakthrough. Whatever it is that's weighing on your heart or on your mind, we are to take that anointing and apply it to that situation. Number two, activate the anointing by expressing your faith. Well, how do you do that, Bonnie? How do you express your faith? Here's a good example. Matthew 8, verses 2 and 3. The leper came to Jesus and he said, if you are willing... This is what the leper said to Jesus. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Just like the woman who went up and took a hold of Jesus' hem of the garment, she had faith. It was an action. That's what he did here, the leper. He said, you can heal me. What was he saying? He voices it. He goes out of his way and he says, you can heal me. Now, all the other people around him didn't want any part of him. They didn't want to get near him. The leper was expressing his faith and making that faith demand on Jesus because he knew if anybody was going to heal him, it was going to be Jesus. He knew it. He knew that was the way to express his faith, was acting in faith. That's how you express your faith, is by acting upon your faith. He spoke out. The leper spoke out amongst the crowd saying, you can heal me. Number three, activate the anointing by walking it out every day. Every day. Walking out God's promises is not a one-time action, but a way of life. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. Why? He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one that was invisible. The one who says, I am the I am. He says that he is going to follow and do what God called him to do. You walk out your faith and the words that you say in your prayers and in your conversations with everyone. You stand on the word. You take a scripture that pertains to what you're going through. You take that scripture, you put it on your refrigerator, you put it on your medicine cabinet, you put it on your bedside table, you put it someplace where you always know you're going to see it. So it's a constant reminder. It's a constant reminder that that's the word I am going to confess in this situation. This is the scripture I'm going to use to apply it. Didn't God say, I am the word? So if we use the word, we're going to God. And didn't it also say in the word that the word was made flesh in Jesus? So when we use the word, when we apply the word in the situations that we're going through, or the circumstances that look so overwhelming, when we take that word, we're as if God is right there in front of us. It's like Jesus is right there in front of us because we're taking the word. So, choosing to focus on God's word, expressing your faith, acting it out, and walking it out every single day. Every single day, walking it out will activate that anointing that God has for you. And as we build our faith up and learn to activate that anointing, we must remember, where does our faith come from? Well, in Hebrews 12, it says, tells us that Jesus initiates our faith, and what else does he do? He perfects our faith. If anyone can perfect our faith, it would certainly be Jesus, because he's been there, done that. So it's telling us another promise that Jesus is going to initiate that faith and that Jesus is also going to perfect that faith. But we have our part to play in it. Remember what I said back here? However, the word however, each individual is responsible for keeping and increasing that level of the anointing. Again, we do that by being in the Word, having that relationship with God, and applying that Word in our lives. So, Christ continually refines our faith. And as we look to Him, we too will be able to operate in that same anointing that Jesus did when He walked this earth. We are able to take that anointing, and we are able to pray over others and see miracles, see changes in their lives, see them set free from something that's been tormenting them for years and years and decades and decades. All we have to do is stand on the word. Last night, it's just before I went to bed, I'm reading scripture came across, I can't even tell you exactly where I found it, but this man was praying over this individual who had no appendages, no ear appendages, none. And he could not hear hardly. Because the skin was closed up. So he couldn't hear, it was muffled. So I don't know whether they had a device that went into the ear canal, whatever it was, but he had this hearing aid that was banded around his forehead. Now, the pastor that prayed for him, it's like, whoa, he can't hear, and he doesn't have appendages for ears either. Wow, Lord, this is a pretty big one here. It's going to need an extra special anointing here. No, pastor went right into it. He started praying for this kid. He was, I think he said he was 14 years old. Well, they took the hearing aids off, and he prayed over him. He went out in the spirit, came back up. He could hear. It was remarkable. The kid could hardly even speak because he couldn't even hear himself hardly. But when he got done praying for him, that anointing came on him. He was healed. The appendages weren't there yet, but the young kid of 14 could hear. And they would step back and they'd whisper, and he could hear what they were saying. So he received that healing because of the anointing of God. It wasn't the pastor. It was the anointing of God. So we're going to go ahead and close with prayer this morning. But I do want to say that if you have not received the Holy Spirit, if you have not, all of us said, well, I know Christ is my Savior. But if you don't have, they all believed, the apostles all believed that Jesus was who he was. But then there was a time when Pentecost came and they received the Holy Spirit. If you have not received the Holy Spirit, please come up to me afterwards, after service, and I will pray over you, and I will anoint you with oil this morning. And again, it's simply because you receive it just as you receive salvation. You receive the Holy Spirit living and dwelling within you. He is your comforter. He is your counselor. He is the one who leads and guides you. Many times I've given you examples of when I would say, Holy Spirit, where was that? What did I do with that? Or where did I put that? Or Holy Spirit, remind me later of this. And I would say so many, many times. Yesterday I asked the Holy Spirit to remind me of something, and sure enough, later that day he did remind me. But the thing is, you have to know that he's on the inside and that he's there for you and that he will lead you and guide you. He will comfort you. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the one who will lead you and guide you. So if you've not accepted or received the Holy Spirit, and or you don't know, see me after service, and we will pray together, and you can receive the Holy Spirit. So let's go ahead and stand this morning. I'm going to go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you, Almighty God, that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. So now that we have heard your word, Father, help us to live out your word, that we want to live in your ways, in your truth, and in your life, as you continually reveal yourself throughout our daily walk with you, in Jesus' name. Let us go ahead and do our closing hymn, number 494, Step by Step. Your hands, I would like to pray over you this morning. Speak God's blessing over you. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you peace. Go in God's blessings. And remember that as we leave this place today, that we are entering the mission field and that God will supply all that we need and all that he wants us to accomplish while we are here on this earth serving him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.